morning. If you would, join with me in turning to Psalm 119. We're going to be in verses, all of them, just kidding. If that were the case, we would be here until the new year. No, we're going to be in verses 9 through 16. In Psalm 119. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I just want to make the announcements, and I'll remind at the end of the service that this Wednesday, for our Wednesday night service, will be a Jamaica service. So to come out and hear about all the great things that God had done through our Jamaica team and how he glorified himself. If you want to hear about that, please join us on Wednesday night. And praise God that our Jamaica team is back safely. Amen. And so if you want to hear about all the great things that he did through his people, please join us Wednesday night. That will start at 7 p.m., and I will try to make that announcement at the end as well. If you know me, I'm not a handyman. Pat shakes his head in agreement. Yes, I don't work on things. Matter of fact, I tell people all the time, I am very much more of a, hey, give me a mower and let me cut some grass, or a chainsaw, let me cut a tree down. That I love to do, but I'm not a handyman. I don't like working on small things, even though I am small. I don't like working on small things. And it's because I get very impatient. But now that I have a son, there are a lot of small things I got to put together for him. We just had his birthday, and we haven't even began to go through all the gifts that he has gotten. But we did, I was able to put together something that was for outside. It was like what's it called, Madison? It's a little water thing. A water table. Yeah, there it is. See, I don't work on stuff, and I don't care what I work on either. But the reason I bring that up is when I started to work on this water table to put it together, there was a book of instructions, as all great toys come with. I threw it to the side. And so as I'm working on this, I'm trying to put the pieces together. By looking at the picture on the box, I get really flustered and frustrated to a point where I'm like throwing pieces in my shop. I'm just asking, Lord, why? I'm like David here. Like, why are you making me suffer through this, right? And all it is some plastic to put together and maybe a couple of screws. And then finally I picked the instructions up, and man, was my life a lot easier. Believer, we have been given God's word, instructions and commands to guard our life from sin. Amen? So please, let's not be like the foolish cow and disregard the instruction God has given us, but let's be like the psalmist and have a reverence for the word of God to guard our life. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. Again, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. God's word says this: how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this very long chapter in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and how it calls us to have a reverence, have a worship towards you for your word, for your commandment. And Lord, as we see here, in particular in these verses, Lord, of how we are to guard our life, it is to have that reverence for your word. Because, Lord, we are to have a reverence for you, a desire to know and love you. Because without that love, Lord, fueled by your love for us, we cannot have any hope to live this life pleasing to you. We cannot have the hope of glorifying you in all that we say and do. So, Father, make your people a people of your word, so that we love you and grow to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we pray in all these things. Amen. So the main point of this section of the Psalms really is abiding in God's word. It's being consumed by God's word. Yes, we consume it. We feast on it every morning, during the day, at night, and it's good. But let's ask the question, are we ourselves being consumed by God's word? Are we, I've heard the phrase before, bleeding Bible throughout the day? Do people know that we're people of the word of God? And for people to see that, we must be a people who are sin. Or sorry, we must be people who sin less. Not are sinless in the fact that we are perfect, because we're not perfect. Amen? Even as believers saved by the perfect God, we ourselves are still not perfect. But as believers in the perfect God who gave us the perfect Son to sacrifice himself for our sins, to make us righteous and holy before the holy and righteous God, we are to now live this life and battle with our flesh, sinning less throughout our life. The process is called sanctification. But how do we sin less? How do we sin less in our life? God has given us his word to be consumed by it, so that in our lives we sin less, so that, and here's the ultimate purpose, he is made much of. Psalm 119 is a celebration of God giving us the commands and guidance we need to live a life pleasing to him. It is a chapter, in this chapter in particular, that we read this morning, that there should be, or that there should be action that follows in reading this book. We don't just read or study the Psalms or read or study God's word, but we also do it. James says, do not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We take it with us everywhere we go. And in this section where we see how we are to keep our way, our living pure in light of being in Christ, we first and foremost must place our faith in the instruction of God's word. Look at verses 9 and 11 with me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we see here the psalmist is saying, Lord, how am I to guard myself? How am I to guard myself in this life from sin? Well, the guard or guide of our life is God's word, believer. If you want to see your life transform and change to be more like Christ, you cannot neglect the very word that he has given us. Look at Psalm 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? The psalmist begins this section with a rhetorical question. How can a young man keep his way pure? This word pure means to separate. Separate from contamination. And the word keep here means to protect. How am I to keep or protect my life away from contamination, but and keep it pure, protect it to be pure? And so how does one keep their life from contamination of sin? You guard it with the word of God. And notice here, how can a young man keep his way pure? One of the things that oftentimes we read the scriptures and we say, all right, if it says young man, it's talking about young men, 30 years or younger, or whatever the age you classify as a young man. But no, it's not just talking about a young man, but this applies to all believers of all generations. If you have placed your faith in Christ, whether you are 7 years old or 99 years old, how do you guard your life? How do you guard your way in this life? It's not neglecting the word of God. This is a matter not just for the young person, but for the older as well. Just because it says young man does not mean it only applies to those who are young or who are men. This text applies to everyone. Jesus models this well for us in Matthew 4. You remember well when Satan tempts him. He says, hey, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Speak against God and I'll give you all of this. I'll give you rest from the suffering you're going through, Jesus, as he wanders in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But what does Jesus do? He quotes scripture to the enemy. He quotes scripture to the tempter. He does not reach for his friend or reach for the things of the world to keep him from falling into temptation. No, he quotes scripture. So if the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, sees it valuable to quote scripture against the tempter, against the temptation of this world, believer, who are we to say there's anything better? Who are we to say, when I'm tempted, I must go here or go there or go somewhere else besides the precious word of God? Jesus deflects or fights back, if you would, with scripture. And guess what? He wins. He did not sin, nor did he ever sin. Amen? And in that story of Matthew 4, he models to us well how we are to fight sin, how we are to keep our way pure, and that's with the holy, precious Word of God. But how do we use it to better guard our lives? We have the tool, the Word of God, but how is it that we use it? Look at verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. The first means of how we are to use the Word of God and keeping our way pure is first approach it correctly. It is to come to the Word with the right posture of heart. And notice what he says, with my whole heart I seek you. You see, the psalmist's purpose of coming to the Word of God to keep his way pure is not just to be given a bunch of facts or a bunch of instructions on how to live a good and righteous life, but his first primary concern is this: I want to know you, God. I want to know you, Yahweh. You are who I want to delight in. With my whole heart, I want to know you. I seek you. So when we say we are searching for the Lord, how often do we say that but not really mean it? The psalmist here is expressing the reality that he seeks the Lord full-heartedly. He puts everything he has into approaching the Scriptures to not just get a better life now, because this book, although it does make your life better, it is chock full of wisdom from the Lord. Amen? It is not a self-help book. This book is not to instruct you on how to live your best life now, but to remind you of what is promised of your best life to come with Christ. And the instructions that we are given here is how we can live that life that is to come. We spend much of our time, we put everything that we have into things that really don't matter, into things that will fade away and fail and fall. And we put little effort into knowing the eternal God who has always been, who will always be, who will never fail, who will never fall, and will accomplish what he has said he will accomplish. We spend very much time on things that don't matter and less time on the thing that does, and that's God himself. To keep our way pure, we must seek the pure one and seek him in his pure, undefiled, perfect word. So practically, what do we mean here? Believer, approach the Word of God with a humble heart. Approach the Word of God not as an arrogant fool who thinks they know everything. Approach the Word of God knowing you know absolutely nothing. Approach the Word of God as a servant or a slave to the Christ who made you his. Do not approach it with a mindset of, how can I make my life easier today? But approach it with, Lord, what is it that I don't know about you today? This is a book that tells us about the one who is the best, who was perfect. Paul knew this well when he stated in Philippians 3:8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul's saying, I had it all. And he did. My man had everything the world could ever dream of having. And he says, just knowing Christ, just knowing the God of the universe is better than all that I could ever have in my possession. Approach the Word of God with a desire to know him better. Ask the question as you read. Practically, as you're reading Scripture, ask questions. This will prompt you to dig deeper. This will prompt you to want to know exactly, hey, what does this tell me about God? Ask the question, what does the Bible tell me about God today? When you read, don't just be like me sometimes. You get bored of reading. Just read words in your mind or read out loud. No, ask questions. Okay, what does this verse or this section of Scripture tell me about God? Or rather, what will God teach me about him today? As you're reading, keep asking the question, what does this tell me about God? The point is to guard our lives well with the Word of God. We must desire to know about him who the book tells us about. That should be our first and primary goal as we approach the Word of God. And as a result of this, the prayer should be that the Lord keep us from wandering or falling from his commands. And a great place to start is approaching the Word of God, wanting to know God better. And then the psalmist goes on in verse 11 talking about how he treasures the word of God. Look what he says. I have stored up your heart. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The second means of how we are to use the word of God is treasure God's word. Stored up has also been translated to mean treasuring. The psalmist expresses a genuine love for God's word so much that he treasures it in his heart. He sees God's word is worth something, and that it is because it is. If you've been a parent for of some time, or if you're a grandparent now, maybe you have some treasures from your child's childhood. I know when I go to my parents' house, I go into one of the buildings and I see a bunch of the toys that my brother and I used to play with. There's an old hockey mask with flames on it that we actually didn't play hockey with. We played like Army Man, and like we would actually like hit each other with and stuff. It was a lot of fun, real cool. There's old golf clubs. My parents still have my very first golf club. It's like this long, and I think my dad made it. And so they treasure all these things. They keep them safe, nestled in the buildings. Believer, is God's word nestled in your heart? Is it treasured in your heart? Is it there? Is it in your mind constantly? Do you hold on to the word of God as you would hold on to your child's childhood? 2 Timothy 3:16, Ronnie read for us this morning, tells us that God's word is profitable for reproof and correction, meaning it has value. The psalmist knows the value of God's word. This is why he treasures it. So practically, how do we do this? What does it mean that we treasure up God's word? Well, first, we memorize God's word. And this is very hard, is it not? It's very hard to sit down and make yourself memorize God's word and speak it to yourself over and over and over again. But believer, if we are to guard our life, if we are to guard our way in this life with the word of God and desire it, to desire to know Him, we must memorize God's word. We're quick to memorize songs that bring no eternal value to our hearts and minds. And yet we're slower to memorize the very words that do bring us life. So we memorize God's word. Not only that, we ponder on His word. This means to think about. And He'll point it out later in the psalm or in this section of the psalm. But ponder or think about means you think about it throughout the day. What do you think about throughout the day? Do you think about the NFL draft that just happened? Do you think about how your team's going to be so great? Do you think about the vacation you're going to take in a few weeks? Do you think about what do you think about? Because what you think about the most is what you care about the most. What you think about the most is going to affect you throughout the day the most. And believer, if we are to be like the psalmist and ask the question, how do I keep my way pure? Then I pray that we be people who think about the word of God throughout the day. And then look at verse 11 again, the end of it. It says that I might not sin against you. The psalmist points out that he treasures God's word, but there's a purpose for treasuring God's word. Ultimately, I don't know why my parents keep my golf club that's this long in the building. I don't. Maybe it's sentimental. I have no idea. There's no value to it. I'm not going to use it. But there is a purpose for treasuring God's word. What is that purpose? That I might not sin against you. We looked at last week Psalm 51 and how David said, I have sinned against you and you alone, O God. Believer, at the end of the day, when you sin in this life, whether against yourself or others, you are ultimately sinning against the holy and righteous God who by His Son made you His. And how are we to guard our lives so that we don't abuse that grace? We value God's word. We treasure it up in our hearts, memorize it, think about it. The purpose of treasuring God's word is so that we sin less to keep our way pure and ultimately not sinning against God. So let me ask you this. Is this your main concern? Is this your main concern, believer? Do you want to sin anymore? Or do you not want to sin anymore because of who God is and what He has done for us in Christ? Or do you not want to sin anymore so your life gets easier? Both of those mindsets have an impact. Both of those mindsets matter. And my prayer is that we would be people of the first, that we want to sin less because we want to honor and glorify God more than make our life easier now. The psalmist knows and submits the reality that to live a life that is marked by holiness, one that is pure, one must treasure up God's word of the Holy One. And so how do we keep ourselves from sinning? Memorize God's word. How are you treasuring God's word today? Do you have it stored in your mind so your heart is moved by it? Do you think about the words throughout the day? My challenge is that we grow to be better people who store God's word up in our heart. We memorize and think about it, and that our conversations have nothing but scripture in them. I love talking to people who, as we could be talking about literally anything, but because one word pops out, they think of a passage and they use that passage in the conversation. And then the conversation goes from the worldly thing to the Christ-like thing. Super encouraging. So those are means, but what helps us store up God's word and being what helps us store up God's word? How are we to get to this place where we value God's word? We know it's how we guard our life with, or it's what we guard our life with. And the means is we approach it with humility. We store it up as treasure. So what helps us get to that point? The psalmist points out that what helps us there is being teachable people, seeing God's word as the most beautiful thing in this world. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. How we get to that place of wanting to store God's word in our heart and approach it with reverence to the Lord is first we must be humble people. Approach the word of God or see the word of God and know who it talks about and approach it with humility. Look at verse 12. The psalmist praises and requests something from the Lord. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Before the psalmist is even like, hey, teach me your ways, God, so that my way be pure. Teach me your ways, God, so that my way be right. What does he do? He praises the Lord. He praises God. The psalmist requests that the Lord teach him his statutes or law. The psalmist wants to know the ways and laws of God to live according to them. But what we must note and highlight in this verse is the psalmist's approach to the request. He doesn't come as an arrogant child wants a cookie from the jar on top of the refrigerator. He doesn't say, I want it, you better give it to me now. No, instead he says, Lord, I praise you. I worship you. You are the God who deserves all of my praise. That's what he means when he says, blessed are you, O Lord. Believer, do you come to God's word praising him? Do you come to God's word worshiping him or to at least grow in that area of your life? The psalmist praises the Lord before he requests something of the Lord. And this is what he means when he says, blessed are you, O Lord. So what we see here is the psalmist has humbled himself to a point to be a teachable person. I like to call it disciple material. You cannot be disciple material if you think you are greater than the one you want to be discipled by. You cannot be a teachable person if you think that you know everything already. The psalmist in praising the Lord is showing a heart of humility and submission so that he can learn God's way. When you praise God, when you sing, or when you serve the Lord in the ways that you do, you are praising him. In praising him, you are showing up with a heart of humility. You are not placing yourself above the Lord nor his word. So practically, what do we do here? Praise God for his word before learning from his word. One of the things that I like to do when I'm reading the scriptures or studying the scriptures is that I'll pray. And in my prayer, I'm praising the Lord. Lord, I praise you for this passage because I know that your word is living and active. It's going to do something to me that I never would thought it could do. You're going to show me something about yourself that in and of myself, my own understanding, I don't know how to get there, but your word is going to teach me and your spirit is going to open my eyes. So we praise God for his word before learning from his word. Approach the word of God practically, humbly, or with humility. When you go to a Bible study or a small group, or you sit with a friend for coffee and talk about the word of God, come with a humble heart, not one that thinks or knows they know everything, because this is reality. You don't. You can have 75 doctorate degrees in theology. You can know all the Greek and Hebrew and speak it fluently. But if you approach the Word of God and holding all of your credentials up to the Word of God, you have already failed in knowing more about God. You have already failed in your desire to grow in knowing and loving Him. You have already failed in desiring to keep your way pure. Your credentials mean absolutely nothing. Your heart does. God delights in a broken, contrite heart over their sins. He delights when our hearts are humble, because then He can actually teach us. To be teachable, you must submit to the teacher. Jesus says in Matthew 10:24, Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." This is what it means to be disciple material. Now, I'm not saying that if you're being discipled by somebody that you worship, then you say, "Oh, blessed you, Patrick," right? Or kiss his feet or whatever. No, we're not doing that. But we are humbling ourselves before one another to learn from each other God's word. This means that we come to the realization that we don't know everything, but He does. And therefore, humble yourself. Praise Him to be teachable to His word. And as you learn His word, as you are humbling yourself and praising the Lord for His word, and He teaches you His commands, we see in verse 13 what we are to do. Verse 13 says, "With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth." With the teachable spirit, one who is disciple material, we can then rightly and accurately declare the blessings of God to others and ourselves. When He says in verse 13, "With my lips I declare," that word "declare" is related to counting. Often as believers, we should count the blessings that God has given us, primarily the one that trumps over all of them, and that's Christ Himself. Amen? Without Him, the blessings we have in our life mean absolutely nothing. Often as believers, we should count these blessings in our lives from the Lord. One author said it very well, saying, "Telling of God's word is a natural occurrence when one has the word of God treasured up in your heart." Meaning it's natural for you to speak about what you love. It's natural for you to declare or make known what it is that you love the most. So the question you must ask yourself, and I ask you now, is it the Word of God? Because of who the Word of God tells us about. Speak the things of the Lord regularly, because you have them treasured up, because you have humbled yourself to know them. Continue to humble yourself and speak them. So practically, what's the application here? Don't be afraid to talk about the things of the Bible. Don't be afraid to sit down with somebody and just start talking about what God has shown you in His Word. But first, you must be in the Word to have that conversation. When you come to a Bible study and you say nothing, maybe it's because you have neglected your own personal time with the Lord. God's Word tells us to declare His Word. Well, if we neglect His Word, we can't do that. I find it so funny whenever sometimes we do small group discussions in youth, you'll ask a question and it's like 5 minutes of straight silence. That kills me. Because like 10 seconds later, I'm saying something and then I take the conversation and then the whole thing fails. So in order for that not to happen, in order for me to keep my mouth shut, people need to come to the Word of God regularly, so that when conversations do happen about the Word of God, one person isn't dictating the conversation. That we can bounce off different things, we can talk about it, and then we can actually dig deep and know what the Word of God says. But if you neglect the Word of God, if you do not treasure the Word of God and want to know the God of the Bible, don't be surprised when you're silent when the opportunity presents itself to talk about God's Word. It's better to speak about the facts of God's Word than our wayward opinions. And as we declare God's word, we see that the word of God is to be the most delightful things in our life. And believer, we should speak about the word more than anyone else, not to ensure that we are right or to prove others wrong, but because God's word is so precious to us, because it's the one thing we delight most in this world. Look at verse 14. "In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches." God's word is more delightful than all the riches of the world. This very book gives you the message of the gospel, which gives you eternal life. Gold cannot purchase that. Silver cannot purchase that. Overtime at your job cannot purchase that. The word tells us Christ has purchased our eternal life. But the psalmist here expresses a genuine satisfaction in the words of God. He knows they are great treasures out in the world that are magnificent, but nothing compares to God's word. This past weekend, my wife and my son, we went down to the beach just to get away for a little bit, and we took them to the Ripley's aquarium down in Myrtle Beach. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. Did we not have fun? Yes, we did. But I think Grady had the most fun. Because Grady, like, he looks at these lights over here, or these windows. Lights. They look like lights. These windows over here, and he's just fascinated by the colors. And then when we got to the aquarium, he was just fascinated with the penguins and like the jellyfish were wild to him. And he makes his face of ooh, 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 right? And he's just stunned by all that he's seeing. But I have a video on my phone and I love it. I'm going to watch this over and over again, and I might cry after watching it, but he's in this place with my wife. There's little tunnels you can crawl and, like, stand up, and you can, like, kind of be in the arena with the penguins or the fish. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And what's so cool is in this one section where he crawls, and they're like, there's this glow of fish, and my wife is down there with him, and she's on her knees. My son sees the fish, but then he turns around, and he hugs his mama and kisses her. And what that shows me is that even though this thing that he's never seen before is awesome and beautiful, the one thing that is most precious to him is his mom. Believer, is that how you view the Word of God? All of the shiny things that are around us, all of the grand messages you hear about the Word of God, they're great. And yeah, you should have the Grady expression, ooh, ooh. But when you turn around and you return to this, is this the most precious thing to you? Like Grady's mom is to him. This is more precious than any riches of this world. And the psalmist expresses this. He knows this. Isaiah 48 reminds us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. His words stay beautiful forever, and it does not change. And as I raise this Bible too, it's a brand new one. It's a graduation present from my wife, and it's beautiful. It's phenomenal. Very thankful for it. And this is the very first Bible I ever preached out of. If I open the pages right now, half of the Bible will come out, because that's just how rough I am. But you can tell it's a little beat up. Right? There's Proverbs. It's a little beat up. I could rip Proverbs right out of the pages, right? But even as rugged and as ragged as this Bible looks, it is still the most precious thing in the entire world. And why is that? Because it's the Word of God. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a Bible, folks. Find a good translation, yes, but marvel at the words that are inside of it, not the leather that holds them. The Word of God is delightful. It's more delightful than any riches of the world because they're God's Word. The things of this world do change and they don't stay beautiful. You will not find anything more delightful to submit to and follow than God's word, because he is the most delightful person we could ever get to know. And by his grace and by his love and by his mercy, he has given us his word to know him. Amen. How are we to guard our life and to keep our way pure? Approach the word of God with disciple material heart. And delight in his word more than any riches in the world, because there are nothing that compares to it. And then lastly, we see in verses 15 and 16 that we are to soak in God's word, and we are to remember and see and remember the delight that we have found. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Again, we talked about pondering. Another word is meditation. And I'm not talking about you cross your legs and throw up this and go home. Like, we're not talking about that. If you do that, that's great. Good on you, okay? But meditation is you are thinking. You're thinking regularly. Young people like to tell me, I don't know. I don't know this. I don't know that. No, you do. Just think, because you can. We think about things all the time. We meditate on things all the time. To be consumed by God's word, to keep our way pure, we must meditate on God's word. So practically, we do this by thinking about God's word daily throughout the day. And we can do that by singing it to ourselves in the car. We talk about it with others or even ourselves. Because here's the cool thing. Like when you share the gospel, one of the cool things that happens is, yeah, you're sharing the gospel with somebody or talking about God with somebody who may or may not know them, but you're also allowing your own ears to hear the words that give you life. When you talk about the word of God with others, whether you're reading out loud or not, or whether you're reading out loud or just talking about it in conversation, you're reminding yourselves of the great truths of Scripture. We talk about it with others or even ourselves. When believers meditate on God's pure, perfect word, their lives become pure. Your life will look different when you meditate on the active and living word of God. And then you will not forget the delight that you have found. Look at verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And as one's life becomes pure, being consumed by the word of God, one will begin to see the delight in God's word and not forget it. The psalmist states that he will delight in the delightful word so much that he will not forget it. He is determined to live out the word of God because of how delightful God's word is. How determined are you to live out your how determined are you to live out the word of God because you see how delightful it is to live out? Believer, living God's word is delightful. Are you living in that delight? Do you find God's word delightful? So the question that was probed to us in verse 9 is how do we keep our way pure? And the answer is be consumed by God's word. So the application I leave you with are a few. First of all, before we get to these applications, we must remember this, that outside of the name of Christ, none of these matter. Outside of the name of Christ, we cannot rightfully approach the Word of God. We can't do these things that we're about to list off outside the name of Christ. We can't love nor live the Word of God outside of knowing, believing, and loving Christ, who makes us the Lord's children. So how does His children keep their way pure? Christian, how do you keep your way pure? By being consumed by God's word. And that means a couple of things. Number one, guard your heart with God's word. Guard it. It is active, it is living. Number two, in doing so, as you approach the word of God, seek the Lord. Do not seek to help yourself. Seek to how you can best glorify God. How you can better delight in Him. For that is where our joy is made complete, as Christ has said. That is where we are fully satisfied in making much of Him. Seek the Lord in the perfect place, His perfect word. Number three, memorize His word and treasure it in your heart. Find an accountability partner and challenge each other about memorizing a passage of Scripture to see who can better do it. Have a game. Make it to where you enjoy memorizing God's word. But first of all, approach the word of God with a heart and memorize the word of God, desiring to love and know Him better. Number four, humble yourself to the Lord to know His word. Be teachable. Be teachable. A lot of you are a lot smarter than me. It's not hard to be. But someone who is arrogant and someone who thinks they know everything cannot be taught. I don't care how many years you have under your belt. If you don't have a humble heart, you are not teachable. If you don't desire to grow in your knowledge and love for the Lord, you cannot be taught how to do so. Humble yourself to the Lord to know His word. Number five, declare the word of God to yourself and others. Talk about it. We talk about things all the time, but is it the word of God? Talk about the thing you delight in most, and I pray that it is God's word. Number six, see God's word as most valuable in your life. There are beautiful things in this life, but nothing compared to the word of God because it reveals us Him, who is better than all things and all things to come. Amen. Number seven, meditate on His word and pay attention to His way. Pay attention to how God has moved in His word and how He has moved in your life and others' lives. Pay attention to His character. And lastly, delight in God to desire a life living for His glory. Believer, we are to marvel in the word of God, or at the Word of God to marvel in the one it tells us about. We are to guard our way, to make our way pure, and God has given us Himself in Christ, and with that His Word. May we be a people of His Word. May we be a people that love His Word because it tells us about who He is. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we ask this now, Lord, that You would make us a people of Your Word, and that when we ourselves talk with each other, we can see that we are being consumed by Your Word, that our conversation, like a fountain at a park, spews not water, but the living Word of God. Now, Lord, in our conversations with those outside of Your name, Lord, they ask the question, where did you learn how to talk like that? What are you talking about? But Father, I pray that in order us to answer those questions accurately and well, Lord, that we be a people of Your Word, desiring to know You better. Keep our way pure, Lord, and our hearts humble to approach Your Word with adoration and reverence towards You. Father, bless this last song. May it be pleasing to Your hearts and we teaching ourselves great truths about You. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.